we crossed the border, we had no power. I think we've a bit of power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hello and welcome to Warriors. This is Kevin Brannigan standing in for Fintan O'Toole. In this episode, we're discussing Dermot Connolly's retirement with Mark O'Shea. He's going to give us the Kerry view on that. And we're also going to look ahead to what is now the upcoming COVID All-Ireland Championship. Mark's going to discuss whether or not the recent retirements from Dublin give Kerry an extra glimmer of hope. And we'll also look back at the 2013 All-Ireland semi-final when Kerry and Dublin went toe-to-toe in one of the classics of the last, of the last decade. Mark was playing that day along with Dermot Connolly. So, let's get to it.
Paul Flynn, McManaman. Now it's Dublin's turn to keep possession. They were on the ropes during the first half. Kerry hit them so hard. Here's Dermot Connolly. Connolly for Dublin. Put his foot right through it. Raises his arm into the sky. He knew from the moment he kicked it that it was over. It's a four-point lead. And is this over? You wouldn't think so.
Mark, it's well over a week since Dermot Connolly left the Dublin panel, and I suppose a week is a very long time in our lives these days. But did the news of his departure from Dublin make any sort of a ripple down in Kerry?
It did, really, I suppose, when you think of it, Kevin, because already they've lost Jack McCaffrey, and as we know, Bernard Brogan has retired as well. But it was a big surprise for us. Slowly but surely, they're losing a lot of the players that were cemented onto this Dublin team for the last few years. So, yeah, it was a big surprise for us. And, you know, the fact that the championship was so near, let's hope it's so near, but the very fact that it was so, we felt we were so close to it, that maybe if he was going, the decision would have been made earlier. But, you know, it's a bit of a shock, all right, because, you know, we were looking forward to the championship, looking forward to the watching the best players play. And, you know, anytime you watch Dublin, whether it's Kerry playing them or whoever it's playing them, you know, you always love to see Dermot Connolly playing, what he does with the ball, you know, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But he's just an incredible footballer. So from a footballing point of view, it'll be really disappointing not to see him anymore playing football with Dublin.
But the news in Kerry, you reckon, was more received as another chink in Dublin's armour?
I think, like, not really a chink in Dublin's armour, but when you look at it, maybe, because these are players that only come along once in a lifetime. You can put those three players that have gone this year, Bernard Brogan, Jack McCaffrey, Dermot Connolly, you could certainly put those into that category. With Connolly, you know, if you look back in the, I think it was the 2017 final, the influence he had there, if you look back to last year's All-Ireland final, you know, the defining moments there where particularly the kick pass that I felt was just the kick pass that he gave to Kieran Kilkenny. A lot of people look at the scores he got and you know, there's no doubt but that he was so influential. But for me, the kick pass that he gave in last year's All-Ireland final, some players are very skillful in that they have every, you know, different kick that, you know, they're able to catch the ball, they're physically strong. But I mean, this kick was 70 or 80 yards. And that was the beauty about Dermot Connolly. You know, it is the beauty about him that when he gets the ball, the first thing he does is he looks up, he scans the field. Is there somebody in a better position? And invariably that ball always goes if there is somebody in a better position. But I watched the rerun of that kick pass good few times now. It's a low trajectory kick. It goes around 70 or 80 yards. And it's like you shoot it out of a gun, an incredible kick pass. And it was really at a stage in the game where it was so tight, could have gone either way. And that kick pass that he gave to Kieran Kilkenny, I think, was one of the big reasons that Dublin were Kerry. Similarly, in 2017, I think it was against Mayo, the 55th minute of the game, I think. And he's surrounded by Tom Parsons. He's surrounded by Lee Keegan. I think Kevin McLaughlin is there. And he gets the ball and he has this, he's just physically so strong. I'll never forget the 2015 final that after the game was over, the two teams always go into the Under Hogan stand after the game to have a few drinks together. and I was standing alongside him, and I couldn't believe how big and how strong he was. And that strength was, you could see it in that 2017 game, where he's able to shrug off big men like Lee Keegan and Tom Parsons, and manage to get the ball and kick it over the bar. It's a phenomenal score. And again, very influential moment, or sorry, very, very important, decisive moment. And it's the influence that he had in those big moments that was really, I think, what sets him above a lot of players.
Yeah, I was just looking back to when you retired, Mark, and one commentator referred to you as a Picasso, but trapped inside a house painter at cornerback. But the tributes to Connolly were equally as verbose and also numerous. Why do you think we were attracted to him as football fans, no matter what county we came from? Why do you think people were attracted to him so much?
We were attracted to him, I suppose, because, you know, look, he was flawed. He wasn't perfect. You know, he had a temper. You talk about Dermot Connolly and so many, you know, big names. You know, you put him in the same bracket as I for one would put him in the same bracket as the likes of Eric Cantona, that could do things on the football field that a lot of the things would be excellent, but there'd be other things that'd be kind of mad. And you know, but the bottom line is, and I think, you know, I think this is why. The funny thing, like last year, he wasn't even going to be available to Dublin. And then all of a sudden, you know, last minute he was there. So like, it's crazy the way the year panned out. But and it's crazy the way that, I suppose, Jim Gavin put the arm around his shoulder when other players, and we even read this in Bernard Brogan's book, where other players felt they weren't getting the same love as Dermot. But I think that the reason Jim Gavin did that was because he saw the genius that was within this man. Now, I know he had his flaws, but I mean, I'd put him in the same category as the likes of Eric Cantona, who was able to do things with a ball that just the others couldn't do. And the famous one with Cantona, when he was in the they were gone for a few drinks with the Man United team, and they were all wearing their club blazers, and Cantona lands in with this crazy looking shawl and a pair of sandals, and the players were kind of not happy that they were fined for a lot less. So Steve Bruce and Brian Robson went up to the gaffer, Sir Alex Ferguson, and said, look, a lot of the players aren't too happy with the way he's dressing, and they feel like, you know, the same isn't the same treatment, it doesn't go to the other players. And Ferguson just came back and said, look, if they can do what he does every Saturday, then they can wear whatever they want to wear themselves. So like, that was the way with I'd say Jim Gavin as well. He knew that within this player there was genius and there was extraordinary ability, and ability just like not alone to do things with the ball, but also ability to bring other players into the game. And for me, that's one of the huge things. I was looking at clips of Connolly last week, and the big thing that I did notice was, as soon as he got that ball, the first thing he would do is he would scan the field. Is there somebody in a better position? And for me, that's the ultimate player. The player that is able to do it in every way, is able to bring other players into the game. If that's not the case, is able to do it himself. Naturally gifted with both feet. I mean, you could actually say, Kevin, you know, what foot was he? Was he right-legged? Was he left-legged? He had every kick. He'd outside of the right, outside of the left, outside of the, you know, inside. Just fantastic. And, you know, he's going to be a huge loss to Dublin.
I suppose, especially in the latter years of the Jim Gavin management of Dublin and the five in a row and all that, Dublin became quite monotonous. There were steamrolling teams. The interviews they were given were, you know, quite dry. And then this anomaly you had was Dermot Connolly, who was off being an individual, doing his own thing, you know, wearing that sleeveless top, wearing that Leitrim track top. But also on your Kerry team, like, you had some big names when you were there, like Paul Galvin, Donaghy, lads like that, you know, lads who aren't bland. So how do individuals manage to, you know, how does a management team manage to let lads keep their individuality, but also stay part of a machine?
I think that, you know, you have to respect people's individuality. You know, you have to take people as you see them. And, you know, I mean, to us, Paul Galvin or any of the players were no different to the rest of the team. They were all part of that jigsaw that made the team better. And, you know, it was fantastic to play with them. And of course, each to their own, everyone has a different style. But it was something that we certainly didn't affect us, or, you know, it was a joy to play with all those players. And that individuality and that difference, I think that's really important. And I mean, if you had 15 Paul Galvins going out onto the field, you wouldn't win a game. If you had 15 Colm Coopers going out onto the field, you wouldn't win a game. Or 15 Dermot Connolly's, no, you'd go a large step of the way. But I think, like, you know, you need the different players in the different positions. But for us, the Paul Galvins worked at number 10, and there's no doubt. But for Dublin, the Dermot Connolly's worked in the half forward line as well. And, you know, just look, these players, as I say, they only come around once in a lifetime, and you have to respect that every player is going to be different. And none more so, I suppose, than Connolly. He did it his way, there's no doubt about that. And he went out on a high as well. What way to go out than to win an All-Ireland? And you know what, he did it differently as well. He didn't go directly after the final or a month or two after the final. He waited. I don't know, maybe in the next few months we'll find out his reasons for departure. It'll be interesting. Was it a fact that maybe Desi Farrell didn't have the arm over his shoulder the same way that Jim Gavin had? I don't know. And I'm not suggesting that, but look, we just don't know. Is it COVID related? You know, the fact that it's going to be a different championship. These are all questions that people are wondering, because I suppose Dermot Connolly is still very much, he's a young player. You know, I know he's 33, but you'd think that there's a lot more in the clock, you know, because I suppose he missed a year or two. And for a player of his quality, you just think that there would be maybe two or three more big years left in him. But so it's disappointing from a footballing point of view that we're after losing one of the greats.
Yeah, I suppose that leads on to this question. Like Declan Darcy said in the aftermath of last year's final that it was the right thing to do to bring Dermot back into the Dublin fold. You know, people thought he was gone, and that visa situation at Dublin Airport, and the next thing he's back in the squad, and Jim Gavin kind of like placidly announces it to Dubs TV, you know, in the way that Jim Gavin did things last summer. But do you think, like, Dermot, who had a Dublin career that saw him taking three Dublin managers, do you think that Dermot and the Dubs got the best out of each other, or was the situation handled as best as it can be?
I think so. You know what, if you asked any of the Dublin players, would they change anything about Dermot Connolly? I don't think they would, because I think it's that kind of, that genius within him, that obviously there's flaws in that, but I don't think any of those managers, any of those players would change any part of Dermot Connolly. He's the player everyone wanted on their team. He was able to do, as I say, do things with football that nobody else could do. And, you know, just to watch him with the ball, watch him the way he was able to glide all over the field, watch him the way he'd spray kicks with the left, with the right, even watching him with Vincent's. And I just go up and watch the Dublin County Finals. And, you know, he'd be beating the opposition on his own. I remember one game, I don't know what game it was, he ran, I don't know who the opposition was, I should say. He ran maybe 70 yards and on his own, and then passed it off to one of his fellow teammates, and then the pass was given back and he just volleyed it in the goal. It was just incredible. And, like, I don't think any manager that managed him would have changed any part of his character. I think we've seen with Dublin, particularly with Jim Gavin, where the likes of Jack McCaffrey, where Rory O'Carroll have gone off and pursued their careers and taken time out. And Jim has always accepted that, you know, players have to take time out in their career and just, I suppose, broaden their horizons. And none more so than Dermot Connolly. You know, he was certainly one of those players who did that. And I think Jim Gavin respected that.
Yeah, that goal you're talking about was against St. Sylvester's in Parnell Park. And just, you have to check it out on YouTube for the finish. It's just this nonchalant little flick of his right boot on some sort of half volley, and he just saunters away. It's pure Dermo. But Mark, I want to take you back to February 2013. Yourself and Dermo were playing against each other in the league down in Killarney, and Dublin, I suppose, hockeyed Kerry that day. After the match, Pat Spillane says Kerry football is in crisis. This is like early 2013. We know what happens at the end of 2013. But do you remember this league match? I think Kerry score 4 points, two each half, two in the second half from frees. Dermot comes off injured, actually. But do you remember that point and the low point that Kerry football was in that moment?
Certainly, I remember, because it was when Eamon had just taken charge of Kerry,
yeah.
Eamon Morris. And I remember we lost the first four league games that year, and it was crisis in Kerry. Like, and you know, it was a tough time. We had a new management team in place. There was a lot of our players who were pushing on in years, you could say. We had lost the nucleus of a great Kerry team, in the likes of my brother Dara. We'd lost the likes of Mike McCarthy, you know, these quality players, Tom O'Sullivan, quality players who were going and hard to replace them, you know. And so, like, those first four league games, just was really difficult time for us. But as it went on, we got a few wins, and there was younger players on the panel who found it, I suppose, hard to break into the team. And that was the thing, you know, it was. When you're trying to bed in young players onto a new team, it's onto a team, I suppose, that's, if you're trying to maybe bring six or seven players in at one time, that's really difficult. And I think that's what set this Dublin team apart from every other team, is that they were able to bring three or four players in, because they had maybe 11, 12 players on the team that were able to bring those fellas along. And for me, that's the difference between this Dublin team. They've been incredible, and you know, it's just been phenomenal what they've achieved, and Dermot is a big part in that.
Yeah, the reason I bring up that league game is because, you know, it's an early league game. It's in February. It's dark. Pat Spillane is saying Kerry football's in crisis, and you're saying maybe it was at the stage. But fast forward to September of 2013, a few months later, I know, I just looked back at it again earlier on this afternoon. It's probably the game of the decade, of the last decade gone. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of that game, I suppose, just how great was that game to play in, the All-Ireland semi-final of 2013?
Oh, it was a phenomenal game. It was a game that you just, you know what, a lot of games, you come off the field physically drained, but in games that are so tight, you come off the field physically and mentally drained. Because, like, there was everything in that game. You had skill, you had just two teams really going at it. And you know, you see now in the way the game has gone, systems the way they are, and I suppose defensive systems. But there it was just man on man, and I'll never forget it, playing inside in the full back line with oceans of space in front of us, and I suppose Dublin being on top in the middle of the field and trying to mark Bernard Brogan inside, and it was like trying to keep the tide out, but it was like, it was just end-to-end stuff, and you were never off guard, you were always on duty, like, and it was a game that, and you know what the funny thing about that game was, it was in the melting pot right to the very end, and if you look at the score, it wouldn't suggest that in the end, because, when the goal went in, it changed everything, but we were devastated after that, because you know it was just a game that it was there for us up until maybe three or four minutes to go, and unfortunately wasn't to be. But I think just the performances that day, like, you know, we spoke about Dermot Connolly. I think he got man of the match. Michael Darren McCauley was outstanding that day. Gooch was outstanding that day. He was rejuvenated out, you know. Out centre forward, what a game he played. But it was just phenomenal stuff. Two teams going at it, and that's what you want to see. That's what crowds come to see, and it was just one of those games.
Yeah, you mentioned Gooch there, and it's probably his last big game for Kerry. Like, he gets that injury then in 2014, but as you say, he's phenomenal this day. But I brought up this All-Ireland semi-final because I think people have talked about a lot of, like, different Dermo clips and the goal against St. Sylvester's and stuff like that. But this, to me, is his most complete, you know, big Dublin match, you know, from start to finish. He's just dominating throughout. You were on, as you said, Bernard Brogan that day. And if you watch back the match, which I'm sure people have during lockdown and stuff like that, it's nearly like a hurling game in the speed of it and in the end-to-end of it. But it does seem nearly devoid of tactics in that, like, you literally just seem to be old-school man-marking Brogan, he kind of beats you on the day, but you bet him on other days. Does your body maybe reach a point where it's like, we're done here, mate, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, there's times where you're just gasping for air. And I think, like, that, you know, the big contrast with say, the league, and as you said yourself, we only kicked 4 points in the whole game. And then for the second half, we didn't score. So, like, geez, you know, but you look back at the team, like, you know, we had a very young team out. But then when it came to that game in 2013, you know, it was kind of back to the tried and tested. You know, you had the Aidan O'Mahony's, you had the Tomás O'Shea's, you know, Peter Crowley, you know, Declan O'Sullivan, James O'Donoghue, Gooch, Donaghy, all these fellas. It was back to the tried and tested players who'd done it for Kerry in the past. But as you say, yeah, and I kind of referenced the word trying to keep out the tide, and that's the way it was. And, like, there'd be times where you'd have your hands on your hips and you'd have your hands on your knees, as I say, just gasping for air. And it was a beautiful day in Croke Park. And, my God, like, you know, it was tough enough trying to keep Bernard Brogan quiet. But then if you look around and look at the Dublin forwards that you had that day, you had Kilkenny, you had Paul Flynn, you had Dermot Connolly. They're your half-forward line. That's incredible half-forward line. Inside, you had McManaman, who came off the bench. You had Bernard Brogan. You had Paul Mannion. These are players that just come around once in a lifetime. And Dublin had them, you know, just at the right time, at the same time. And but, like, you know, that game, you know, you look, when I grew up, I always watched, you know, the games. I'd watch them back. For me, the big one that stood out was Derry Down, I think it was in 93. And it was like, it was 93 or maybe 94. I think it was 94, actually. And it was 1994, because Derry were all Ireland champions. Mm. Down beat him in the Ulster Championship. And watching players like the likes of James McCartan, Mickey Linden, Anthony Toholl going at it. And it was just an incredible match. And it was a game that really stuck with me, like, looking back in it and the great scores that were scored. You were going back then as far as 1977 to the All-Ireland semi-final between Kerry and Dublin. A lot of these great games, it happens to be Kerry that lose, in fact. But anyway, this game that we played in, you know, we were shocked afterwards. We were so down in the dumps. After a while, you know, you hear people talking about what a game it was, a game for the ages. And you realize it. When the hurt goes, well, I suppose the hurt never goes, but when you're able to, kind of look at it coldly in the light of day, you're able to realise, you know what, we were involved in a game that was a game for the ages when you look back. And it, you know what it was? And the big thing, Kevin, was it was the pace that the game played at. It was the pace that it was played at. And also, when you play a game at such a pace, it's really hard to keep up the skill set, but also it's really hard to keep up the tempo. And that game was played at the same tempo for the whole game. And the skill set did not, didn't lose the dynamics of skill set or anything of the sort, and that's why I think it's regarded as one of the greatest games.
Cluxton is going forward. Dermot Connolly has the ball in his hands at the moment. The Dublin supporters here in Croke Park cannot look. Connolly wants to take it. Cluxton out of picture, is now on halfway. Dermot Connolly happy that he wants to take the free,
and it's his weaker foot
on his weaker left boot. Connolly.
That's terrific.
Put it over. That's a huge kick from Dermot Connolly. Level a seventh time. 20 points apiece. 3-11, 1-17. Just stunning stuff.
Missing big events like that has been a real killer this summer. Seeing two teams and a big crowd at Croke Park going at it like that. But just on Dermot Connolly's performance that day, like, it's in the 68th minute, Dublin are a point behind. He gets a free into the hill. It's at a bit of an angle. Cluxton's thinking, will I come up and take it, as I had done in 2011? But no, he stays put. Dermo takes it, and it's one of those real pressure kicks. He puts it over. 3 minutes later, Kevin Mack has come on, and he scored the goal, which, you know, leads to Dublin winning the game. And then Dermo scores another to seal the victory. But he's having his great individual performance of a game. How aware of you are you as someone in the back line that Dermo's having this game, or are you just totally concentrating on Brogan and your own game?
Well, actually, I suppose I'm totally concentrating on Brogan and the game, or my game, my duel with him, which he won that day, hands down. And like, you know, but at the same time, you're looking around, you're looking for inspiration. Funny actually that you that day, because Tomás, my brother, was actually marking Dermot Connolly. And if you look at it, Tomás was one of our best players. And it's funny then, Dermot Connolly, who was outstanding for Dublin and was Dublin's best player, gets man of the match. And you try and think of that and kind of analyze it. And it's a funny one, because I suppose your primary duty as a defender is to stop your man. And Connolly certainly had his moments. For me, you know what? It's not really that free kick that he scores. That is the defining moment for me. For me, what stands out is the kick out that Clarkson took that day towards the end, that goes right over the top of everyone and even goes over Tomás, and Tomás is trying to cheat off him to try and maybe do a high press for the kick out. But the ball goes over his head, goes over all of the midfielders, and it actually lands over by the Cusick stand side where Connolly is running onto it, and it's straight over the bar. It's one of the most incredible scores you'll see kicked, orchestrated on the training ground, of course. But like, when you have two geniuses like Cluxton and Connolly coming together like that, it was just phenomenal. For me, that was the highlight of Dermot Connolly that day, the way he was able to take the ball on the run, catch it on the run, and to be able to kick the score the way he did. Phenomenal score. And you know what? You look back in the day, that's something that definitely stuck with me that day. It was that score that he kicked.
In the days after that match, when yourself and Tomás are having a chat, what was Tomás saying about his day with Dermo?
You know what? To be honest with you, you'd be so fed up, Kevin. You don't really yeah. go there, because it's something that I never did. Was when we lost the game. I don't know why I could never look back at it, because you'd be so hurt after the game. Now, obviously, when your manager is looking back after it and you're looking at the cold facts of it, you do look at the video analysis. But it was something I never did, was look back in games. Sure, look, when you lose, you're fairly down in the dumps. Tomás was pushing on at the time as well, so I knew maybe time was fairly up for him. So I kind of left him to his own devices, because it was the end of the road for him. I felt he possibly could have gone on, given another year, but I suppose, you know, he felt the body was coming to the end. So that was his last year with Kerry. But look, it was just a game that it was an incredible game. There were scores from like. Gooch kicked 4 points. James O'Donoghue kicked 2 goals and 3 points. It was his first real year coming, blossoming. You know, we knew that in this player, there was a player that was really going to stand up for Kerry, which he did the following year, and that year. But it was a phenomenal game, and it was a game for the ages. When you look at the Kerry bench that came off that day, and like, you have Aidan O'Mahony, Owen Brosnan, David Moore, Kieran Donaghy, these players coming off the bench, you know, phenomenal players to be able to bring in. And like, then you see the players coming off the Dublin bench, the likes of Kevin McMenamin, and you saw the influence that he had. In actual fact, I remember it was me who was going for that ball, that kick out that came. And I think it was David Moore, and I think Michael Darragh gets a hand to it, and I'm in midair, and then Kevin McMenamin's gone, and there was no stopping him then. He was like a train. But you know, that was just an incredible game that'll live with us forever, I suppose. You know, you don't have to watch a video to kind of to think about it. It's inbuilt in the brain, and it's a game that just will go down in the ages as one of the greatest games of all times.
Yeah, and the names that you mentioned there, like, they're not names that you go scratching in your memory. They're names that are at the forefront of it for both teams. I suppose, finally, Mark, this was Jim Gavin's first year as Dublin manager. I suppose the aura hadn't descended on this team yet. It was still a Jim Gavin team in evolution. Look, as the years went by then, they became the machine that they became. But what was it like going into that game? The aura hadn't descended. You still thought, this is Dublin at the semi-final, there's a chance, where in a couple of years' time, maybe teams weren't thinking that.
Yeah, look, we were very close in 2011. We probably should have seen out that final. So in that game in 2013, we knew we were in with a right chance, because we certainly didn't perform in 2012. So in 2013, we knew that we had a huge opportunity of beating Dublin. And, you know, it just didn't happen for us. And then, you know, the following year, we won the All-Ireland. So, like, there was definitely doubts, you know, that this Dublin team could be got at. But I think they put all that to bed in and 2015 when they beat us, and you just knew that there was something building here, particularly with the likes of Fenton coming in midfield. And then, you know, what set them apart more from most teams was that the bench, that they could come, they could have players that could come off the bench. Dermot Connolly had that role sometimes, most of the times he was starting, but he had that role where he was the player coming off the bench, particularly towards the latter stages of his career. But it was just, you know, it was maybe 2015, 2016 when they put two back-to-back in a row. You knew there was something seriously brewing here, and it was going to take some team to stop them, and they haven't been stopped yet.
I know you've been involved over the years with the Kerry development side and, you know, the Kerry School of Excellence and stuff. What impact do you think this whole crisis of 2020 is going to have on the development of players coming up at you know, those tender ages, late teenagers, etc.?
I think it's going to have a big, you know, well, look, we've been lucky so far. I think, you know, even during the lockdown, I think clubs were outstanding in their approach, and there was a load of their coaches in the various clubs doing a lot of WhatsApp videos and all of that with players, particularly at the developmental stages, you know, the early ages, you know, the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, which I think is really important. We were very lucky in that we had great weather, and that allowed us all to get out and kick ball out in the garden. So very lucky from that point of view. Look, we're at a stage now where we're looking possibly at another lockdown. Let's hope it doesn't come to that stage, because we really want a championship. I think we need a championship. So look, at the moment, we've been very lucky that we've played. There's been underage games, and I think they needed that. Certainly, the development squads were done away with this year across the country, because I suppose it couldn't just fit in. Clubs had to take precedent, as John Horne had outlined at the start of the year. But we were definitely, you know, delighted that the clubs and the juvenile games got back running, whereas the schools haven't got back running yet. It'd be great to see that coming back maybe in January. That would still be okay. But I don't think the players have been that affected yet. But, you know, there's a lot to come yet, you'd be thinking. But let's hope it doesn't have an effect on them.
A couple of weekends ago, David Clifford went viral there on social media with his, you know, his goal we've went through a lot of big names from that 2013 game, you know, names that, like, you know, they just light you up when you think about them and think of what you've done. And we spent a lot of this chat talking about Dermot Connolly, but the prospect of spending the winter looking at David Clifford and maybe coming up against Johnny Cooper again in an All-Ireland final or something like that, like, it is something to keep your heart warm as we go into these dark months.
Oh, it is. Look, I was watching that county final when David Clifford got that ball, and look, it's his movement before he gets the ball. It's his movement, the way he loses his man. Peter Crowley, in fact, was on him for that goal. You know, Crowley had a great game himself. Great to see him back, going well after his cruciate ligament, and hopefully he'll have a big impact to play for Kerry this year, because he's a hugely influential player. But the way that Clifford peeled off him, now the pass coming in had to be perfect. Even Crowley did great to get back, to get into a position where he could possibly make a block down. But he's probably thinking, you know, maybe Clifford's going to kick a pint here at worst. But then just the execution of the kick, you know, very few players can do that. And just the way he's able to hit that bomb, it's like a rocket. We're very lucky that he's playing with Kerry. He's just a phenomenal player, with his head firmly on his shoulders. And to be able to have two unbelievable seasons that he has had for Kerry is just phenomenal. Two All-Stars in the bag already, and he's probably only 20, 21. So there's a lot more to come from this fella. I know he's a player that Dublin certainly would worry about. They haven't been able to tie him down yet. The problem is, if Kerry can get enough supply of ball into him, and if he can, you know, if there's other players inside there that can be as potent as him, that's where Dublin have been, you know, it's so dangerous. You know, if it isn't Mannion, it's Conn O'Callaghan. You know, they've so many just... Arsenal and their attack, they're just lethal. But Clifford is one of those players that just puts fear into the opposition. So look, hopefully he's going to have a huge year this year. He'll have to, if Kerry are going to try and take the cup away from Dublin, which is going to be a huge task, but he'll have a huge part to play.
Yeah, look, we mourn the loss of Connolly and other players who exit the stage, but there's always other players like Clifford, hopefully this winter, who will, you know, step up to the mark and be that shining star. Mark, cheers for taking the time. Thanks for talking to us.
They compare Tyrone to the British Army. Once we crossed the border, we had no power. I think we've a bit of power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.